All the glory of the King's daughter is within. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the happy inspiration of Pope Pius XII to institute a feast day for the Universal Church in honor of the Blessed Mother during her own month of May, which by popular devotion, because of its beauty, was given to Our Lady many centuries before. And so, in one of the last acts of his reign, the Feast of the Queenship of Mary was put into the calendar for May 31st. However, it very often happens that because of one of the octaves of the Church year, in this case Pentecost, falling during this week of May, then the Feast Day of Mary, the Queen, is transferred to the first free day, which is the first day then after Trinity Sunday, otherwise occupied by a very great church reformer and saint of devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, Saint Francis Caracciolo. But it is a happy transfer in this sense that just as it's appropriate to look at Our Lady as Queen for the culmination of her month, May, so too, when the Holy Ghost now puts this feast to be kept during the month of the Sacred Heart, it draws us then a little bit closer to her own regal heart, to her admirable heart, as St. John Hughes calls it. And the Holy Ghost makes us to see our Blessed Mother as Queen in her relationship with the adorable Trinity, whom we honored yesterday on the great feast of the Blessed Trinity. That is to say, the eldest daughter of the Eternal Father, the mother of the Son, and thus because the Son is King, as the Scriptures teach, and then all of the saints and the fathers underline this truth, because the Son is King, she is the mother of the Son, and thus she is the Queen Mother. And finally, of course, the spouse of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Most Holy Trinity, Queen then logically of angels, Queen of men, Mother of us all, and the Empress of the universe, says St. John Hughes. That is her relationship to the Trinity. Now, if we look at her heart itself, her heart contains within itself the secret of all of its greatness. The Church loves to connect the 44th Psalm with our Blessed Mother, especially because of this verse with which I began. All of the glory of the King's daughter is within. That is to say, all of her excellence, all of her virtues, all of her beauty, the beauty of this Queen, is to be found in her heart. It is the source of all of the virtues that she practiced on earth, and it is the glory of the happiness that she enjoys in heaven, and it is also the source or the explanation of the incredible power that the Mother of God and our Queen enjoys from her heavenly throne at the right hand of her divine Son. Now, how is her heart, St. John Hughes asks, how is her heart the source of all of these things? We know that Mary's purity and her humility and her charity have rendered her worthy to be Mother of God and Queen. And thus, all of these her virtues have enriched her and lifted her up to so high a dignity by the working of the Holy Ghost. The heart is, after all, the seat of our love and the seat of our charity, the seat of all good, or the seat that is the source of all evil, depending on each individual. So when we look to praise Mary, when we look to understand her intrinsic greatness, her free cooperation with God, His will, naturally we look to her heart. We see in her immaculate heart the source of all that is great and holy and good and glorious in Mary. And we honor, and we, as it were today, we crown her heart. This is an appropriate thought and a devotion for us to have during the month of the Sacred Heart, remembering this great truth that she is so closely in her will, within, on the inside, so united with her divine Son, that truly her heart is one with His. Almighty God created Mary's heart. Almighty God filled it with all of these magnificent virtues. And as we sing in that hymn of Father Faber during August, or sometimes on First Saturdays, Almighty God broke Mary's heart on Calvary, which is also the mystical day of her coronation as queen, in order that it might wider be. In other words, that there would be room for us and for all of mankind, all of her children, to have a place now within her motherly heart. And then last of all, on the Assumption, God the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, crowned Our Lady, crowned, as it were, her heart, the source of all of this magnificent virtue and goodness, and gave Mary, Queen, to us, her children, and her subjects. One of the most devoted priests to the Blessed Mother during the 20th century was the great conventual Franciscan Polish priest Maximilian Kolbe, who always referred to Our Lady as the Immaculata. He says that Mary Immaculate has a right to be loved as Queen of all hearts. That's the title that St. Louis de Montfort, in particular, is given the credit for, applying to Our Blessed Mother. And there's a beautiful thought there too, Mary, Queen of all hearts. So that through her, our hearts would be cleansed. And Father Kolbe goes so far as to say, our hearts, and consider, as they say, all good or all evil is to be found within. Our hearts could be not only cleansed, but our hearts could become immaculate, Father Kolbe says, similar and like unto her own heart, and thus worthy of union with God. This is the work of the Queen of all hearts, and the Queen of the universe. This is the work of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, especially during these wonderful days now of June, to make her Son reign as merciful King of love over all souls, families, and over all of society. And Mary does it somehow by entering into our hearts and cleansing them. And yes, he's so bold as to say, to make our hearts immaculate. What a reason for a strong devotion to Mary's queenly heart, so that through a devotion to her heart, the reign of the Sacred Heart will at last come into our midst. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.